Welcome to Caribbean Mystics Podcast,
where we marry mysticism, superstition, and lore. I'm your host, Paulina.
And I'm your host, Gabrielle. And we are your resident Caribbean mystics.
Join us today as we explore the depths of real supernatural stories.
Told by real people located right in our very own backyard.
On today's episode, we peek into the life experiences of Danica, who's always been a little bit different. She seems to know things before they happen, and reflects on how tragic a gift like this could be, but also life-saving and beautiful.
It was right after my second daughter was born. It was the second night in our house, and we were sleeping. So, you know, as a newborn mom, sleep is very crucial because you have such a lack of it. And I was sleeping, and it was early in the morning, and I felt this shove, like somebody pushed me to wake up. And I remember like coming out of my sleep, because if I'm sleeping and somebody wakes me up, I get really cranky. And so I went and I woke up and I turned to my husband. I'm like, what? Because it was like literally a big push. And sure enough, him and my daughter was hard asleep still. And something woke me up out of my sleep, like literally pushed me. And as I woke up and my husband and my daughter was still sleeping, something told me, go downstairs right now. We lived in a loft, we had a loft, and the baby was in the crib downstairs, even though we had a baby monitor. And sure enough, it was, go downstairs right now, go downstairs right now. And this chilling feeling just came through me, and I went downstairs and I found my daughter Blue in her crib. And I screamed for my husband, and sure enough, I felt like this, almost like a bear hug, where somebody was like guiding my hands to do something. And I wasn't in the medical field quite yet, so I didn't know how to do CPR. I didn't know anything about medical stuff. And this thing just guided me, and I was doing CPR, and just, I was doing these maneuvers with my daughter that I, you know, it wasn't even a mother's instinct. It was, I felt this guide, like somebody was like, I was a puppet, and they were guiding me to these different things to do with my daughter. And on the way to the hospital, you know, she was still barely breathing, and again this guidance came and guided me to put on the window of the car, and just kind of have her head not all the way out, but just have it out where the wind could just kind of get to her. And as we got to the hospital, the doctor pretty much stated that whatever I did saved her life, because the wind was able to kind of get some oxygen to her that was needed. It was kind of like a pressurized thing. She ended up having a blockage, and there was some other stuff going on with her, but we almost lost her that night. If it wasn't for something shoving me and waking me up like a push, I would have never woken up. And it just literally guided me through the whole entire situation. My aunt, she was diagnosed with cancer, and she was in the States, and she wanted me to come up to visit her. So my daughter and I both went up. It was, I want to say around Thanksgiving. It was right after Thanksgiving. So we flew up, and I knew prior to, there was an energy that was just like, something's up with her. And I remember her telling me she loved me before I left the hospital room, which we joked around and we loved each other, but it wasn't something that we expressed. And I just remember thinking that's gonna be the last smile that I saw her. And she ended up going cardiac arrest and was on life support. And that Monday I had to fly back. I couldn't change my flight. And when I was in mid-flight coming back from Florida to St. Thomas, I got another push, I want to say. And I felt this energy release from me, and I kind of knew that I looked at the time and I knew she passed. Like, I just knew it. And I started crying in the middle of the plane. I just came out of the sleep and I started crying, and I just knew she was gone. And like, oh my God, I felt her leave me. Like it was this crazy energy. And sure enough, I got off the plane and the first thing I did was call my mom. And she's like, you know, your aunt passed, but you were in flight. I was like, what time was it? And I just remember being like adamant, what time did she pass? And when she told me the time, it was the same time that I woke up. And I kid you not, like, crazy goosebumps. I was like, I knew it. I didn't even need her to tell me. I had already felt her presence leave on that flight. I've also experienced a beautiful thing where, you know, my mother-in-law, she got sick, and the morning she passed, even though she was peacefully in her sleep, it was very sad, but she has this fascination with yellow breasts. So she was always feeding these yellow breasts, and we just all felt it. We felt the energy leave her. And then it was 4 o'clock in the morning, so it was pitch black. And this yellow breast comes storming in right after she passes in the room and is flying up and down like crazy. You know, birds don't fly at nighttime. And this yellow breast is like flying crazy up and down, like almost taking us out. And then they stopped in the middle of the door and just looked down, and it's calm. And we just all knew, we're like, oh my God, she's okay. She made it to the other side. Like, we felt it. And that's not the only time with the yellow breast. So my husband was doing something he wasn't supposed to do that his mother would not condone. And this was a few months after she had passed. And this yellow breast again came and like was pulling at his hair. And his mom used to pull his hair when he got in trouble, and it was pulling his hair. And we all started laughing, and the tenant was there and he videoed it because he was like, this is crazy. This is unbelievable. And this yellow breast ended up looking like his mom, but in a bird. So she was an amputee, and this bird only had one foot, and looked like a replica of her in a bird form. And we just started laughing because it was like, ha, you know, you weren't supposed to do it, your mother would come, you know. And it was a beautiful moment.
Wow, Danica's story pulls so much emotion from me. I am just very, very like taken aback by this series of events. Welcome back for another episode of Caribbean Mystics Podcast. I'm your co-host, Gabrielle, and I'm super excited to get into today's discussion.
Yes, and I'm also your co-host, Paulina, and so am I, because this was such a heartfelt story that Danica told. I was really moved while editing it as well. She had other experiences to add to this story, but I just felt that these were my favorites, at least. And I think that they bonded really well together to be told together. She did have other predictions that she had feelings and knowings about that had happened and come to pass. But I just really like that this episode was very much more on like, we all have to face one day the big D, you know, and it's...
She's talking about death, are you? She's yes. Talking about death.
I don't even like to say the word. I'm not even going to lie. I'm terrified.
You know, there's a lot of D's that may have been rolling through people's minds.
No.
So I wanted to come. This is the Caribbean Mystics Podcast. Huh? You don't get it twisted.
Thank you for clarifying for me. Thank you. But yes, the big death is like this looming subject, but we are all going to succumb to it eventually. And to see a beautiful side to that with Danica's story is like comforting.
Yeah, for sure. I think that what really like pulled at my emotional cords was definitely a lot of the things she was talking about, especially where she was going into the story of her aunt passing, and she knew of the time of her aunt's passing just by the energy of it, and the story about the yellow breast, and me thinking about my own grandfather and how I feel like every time I talk to my cousins, they have a different bird that symbolizes him. Like my cousin has the cardinal, and I have another cousin that has the finch, and another cousin that has the sparrow. And so it's really interesting the ways in which these birds hold this type of significant spiritual symbolism as it relates to people who have transcended onto the other plane.
I'm a big fan of signs because you hear it often in the mystical realm, mystical community, I guess, you know, like, send me a sign. But sometimes every once in a while, people get very, very specific signs that they just know who is from and what the message can be. And I love that this bird had so much significance to her in her life, that in her passing as well, it just correlated. It just, especially that the bird also, I just thought it was really funny how Danica was like, this looked like my mother-in-law in a bird form. Like if my mother-in-law was a bird, this is, and it even had like a missing foot, right? Like, cause she was an amputee, which I thought was just like so validating. You're like, oh, definitely. That's like such a big sign. And if you can't even give the universe a little bit of a nod towards some kind of affirmation that, okay, we're not alone and there's something on the other side, then you're in full denial, I think.
No, I absolutely agree. I feel like there are people who I think turn any sign into a sign. You know, yeah. You know, they pancake mm-hmm. drop on the floor and it's some sort of like, you know, divine unfolding. Yeah, correct. Or they have a flat tire and it's the devil at work, when in fact, you know, like I do think mm-hmm. that there are certain things that happen just based off of this human existence that may not have the level of significance that some people like to attribute to certain mm-hmm. events. But I think that with her story regarding the yellow breast and the missing leg, I feel like that really came extremely clear. You know, like yes. It's very hard to actually explain something like that away, because how often do we put up on a yellow breast that missing a leg?
Yes. And it's pulling on his hair, constantly bothering her husband. Like, it's yeah. very intentional. Yeah.
For sure. And I actually did a little bit of research because the bird thing really, like, you know, had me. And they didn't really go into the yellow breast, because I feel like that's more of a bird that we see here in this part mm-hmm. of the world. But there was a lot of talk about the cardinal and how the cardinal is known to come very soon after someone has passed. And it is meant to be like, I am here for you. I have not left you, and you are protected. And I find that to be so aligned with this yellow breast that came by. And so I did look up pictures of cardinals because I had a basic idea what it looked like, mm-hmm. but I wanted to just see what the similarities were between their appearances, and they were actually very similar. And so I thought that that was a very beautiful like weaving together of the ways in which this bird came and some of the messages that may have come through from it. And it brought them laughter. She was still laughing about it in
yes.
her telling the story. So even when she brings back that memory, there's still that, you know, emotional attachment to it and to this bird and to what it stood for them at that point in time.
Yeah. I'm glad that we have these stories because, you know, growing up, I've always been into this, the mystics. And you would always read the books and they'd be like, well, if you see a cardinal, if you see a blue jay, if you use the pine from this tree, from oak tree and willow tree. And growing up in the Caribbean, how can I possibly relate to those birds or those trees, because they don't grow and they don't live in my environment? So I love having our own little personalized version of the mystics, because yellow breasts, you'll find the commonality with other people living here, like with the yellow breasts. I just love that it's a yellow breast and not like, oh, it's a cardinal or something typical that you always hear about.
A trushy or a pigeon.
I was just about to say, who knows? Somebody might love trushies out there. And for those who don't know what a trushy is, it's kind of like, I don't want to give trushies a bad rap because they already got one, but they're kind of like, I guess, the trashier birds.
Trushy is like a raccoon. Like, the trushy gives the raccoon energy. Yeah, like, just troublemaker, you know, like, we'll go
getting into everything. Yeah, trying pick to eat apart. Your food.
Yeah, pick apart. And they're very, like, aggressive. Like, they're, like, in your face, you know, doing craziness. Like, they'd be playing in your face. They're not a very secretive bird that tries to hide. They're very, like, conniving, sneaky, irritating, to say the least. But if you're a trushy lover, you know, you keep on keeping on.
Exactly. So, but yeah, I love that this story is about our environment and culture in the mystical form, because you don't really read books about that, you know, especially if you're a little girl into witchcraft and you want to know what little potions to make. You can't go outside and find a willow tree or an oak tree. So it's always like, I got palm trees, you know, flamboyant and different things. But
yeah.
But anyways, yeah.
I completely agree. I also found that her first story where she was talking about being jolted awake by this unexplainable force and having the inkling that she needed to check on her daughter who was suffocating in the crib, and the way that she talks about being guided, you know, like to do these things that she had never been trained on and she had no skill set for, and all of it leading up to her actually saving her daughter's life. You know, like, I think that there are certain aspects of ourselves that come through when we are in a place of emergency, when it's that fight or flight, you know, it's that saying the right thing, it's that doing the right thing, that happens in the midst of things. You know, it's the people who have peace under pressure and are an immense amount of stress but are still like able to function, and it is through that functioning that they're able to get to a place where the emergency has subsided. I was thinking about, you know, what could that have been, and I feel like there was a lot of like ancestral energy that kind of like came to me when she was talking about this particular story, you know, like ancestors around her like jolting her awake. But when it came time to her kind of knowing what to do, I think that that is Danica pulling on information that she subconsciously had but didn't consciously know from past lifetime experiences. And it's like, I don't know, you guys, many of you will never meet Danica because she lived down here in the Virgin Islands and a lot of our listenership is in the States. But Danica gives like medicine woman vibes. Like, as much as she talks about getting into the medical field later on in her life, when you talk to Danica, like, there's a very old energy about her, and you can tell that she's been on this earthly rodeo a couple of times at least. And so I'd like to think that in moments where we are about to deviate from our destiny, where we are moving off of the path that God intended, there are forces that are very, our ancestors, our guides that are very reliant on our journey and what that journey means for ourselves, but also all of the people that we interact with come in and they act as agitators in order to move us back on that path. And it wasn't her daughter's time to go. And it wasn't, you know, her time to be at the place where she's lost a child, because that would have deviated what she's here to do and all of the ways in which she's here to accomplish the things she's here to accomplish. And I feel like her ancestors worked in tandem to get her awake, but I think that, and to stay calm, but I think that that inherent knowing is Danica's own power shining through.
I don't know Danica as well as maybe you do, but I grew up seeing her a lot, you know. We went to like similar schools, and like I would see her at events and things. And then I also taught her daughter some ukulele. So sweet. But I definitely get nurture vibes from Danica. Yeah. Like motherly nurture vibes. And I mean, she seems like she is such an amazing mother. And you see like all her posts, all the things she does for her daughters. And she's creative too. She's like wears many hats. She does photography. She does she like makes t-shirts, you know, she does a lot of different things. But I feel you with that. Like, I feel like I get like those nurture healer vibes from her too. And yeah. I feel like this was definitely a guardian angel of sort. And you also triggered like a theory of what happens to the brain when we're under a state of emergency. Like, obviously all of these like drugs are pumping through our minds, like cortisol and epinephrine and adrenaline. But I really think that in states of emergencies, we go into this sort of zone. And I think anybody can be a testament to that, that has gone through a stressful or emergency kind of state where they almost feel like they're out of body and something else is taking over. And in this case, like, she literally describes feeling like a puppet, like something was maneuvering her hands to do it. And I think that it's also because you're in this mental state, you're kind of in this easement to let go and let spirit come through and use you like a tool. And in her case, she had so much trust in that as well, because if it wasn't for her mentality of being like, okay, I trust whatever's happening, she could have totally resisted that, you know, that feeling and gone into full panic. But she didn't, you know, she calmed down and she kind of just followed whatever this was guiding her. I've heard lots of stories of things like this happening to people. I'll tell you one story quick. It's on my favorite podcast called Spooked, and I'll put in the episode. But it was about this girl, and she's taking a walk through the forest with her dog. Not with her dog. She's taking a walk through the forest by herself. And she notices she's the only car that pulls up in the parking lot. So she heads out to the trail. She starts walking, and she hears two men on the outskirts. And they're talking amongst themselves. And she's just far enough where she can overhear their conversation. And they're like, "Where did she go? I don't know. Go this way. I'll go this way. I'll try to find her." And she's thinking, okay, maybe they're just talking about their dog. They lost their dog or something. And instantly, this voice, an audible voice, not like in her mind, it sounded like somebody talking right next to you, told her, "Run. Run towards that tree." And she listens to it and she starts running towards that tree. And it's like, okay, stop, right here. Be quiet. And she's silent. She hears the guys walking around. And she peeks around. She sees that one of them has, like, a rope in their hands. Totally freaky, right? And the voice is talking to her, saying, "Wait here." And then it's like, okay, now run to the river. And she's, like, running. And it's like, quietly, quiet. It's totally guiding her through this horrible, possibly like murder that's gonna happen to this chick, and guided her to the river. And once she got to the riverbank, it's like, "All right, now hide under the bluffs." And it's like, "Not there." It was really specific too. It was telling her, it's like, "Not there. Okay, stay here, quiet." And then it told her again, it's like, "Okay, now run as fast as you can to your car and don't stop." And this voice saved her life. And she has no idea where it came from or who this was. And she never heard it again after that. But whatever it was showed up in this state of emergency. And I've heard a few stories like that. Some are like audible voices, just like that girl's story. Some are like Danica's, where something takes over. It's just like a feeling and a knowing.
Yeah. That's intense. And also, it's just, there are these things that happen, these like miracles that like make you really like stop and pause and like really take stock of life and mm-hmm. how mystical and magical life is just around every corner. There are these things that happen that are pushers and pullers, you know, just like Danica's story, you know, where it's pulling you toward your destiny and away from things that would veer you off of the intended course for you. I was gonna say that I do think that there are people who have that innate ability to process under pressure. And you don't know whether you are that person or not until you actually have to experience it. Chaos is all around you, and you are the one that is there managing. And I have been in several instances where, because it's just like everyone wants to think they're the hero. Everybody want to believe that they're going to be the one to like stop the gunman or, you know, right. like
be calm under pressure.
And all the things. And it's just like you don't know until you're there and until you have to like have an, it's like an internal quelling of your own nervous system and your own
fears. Fight or flight.
Yeah. And so I've been in several instances where there is chaos around me and I basically in my head, it's just like, you just kind of know that like, if you don't take control of this situation, no one else can. No one else has the capacity. And so a really like a story that I think about like with my own life is when my grandfather, we didn't know he was sick. And there was a few days he couldn't get out of bed, and everyone had tried to talk to him to convince him to go to the hospital. In the Caribbean, older folk have a very jaded relationship with the medical system. They don't trust doctors, they don't trust medication. And so to be an elderly person and going to the hospital, it could be very traumatizing and scary, especially if you have loved ones who have died in the hospital. And after death, people tend to have all of these speculations around what coulda, shoulda, woulda happen. And so I remember my grandfather sitting down and laying down in bed, and he was always a very active person. He never took naps or anything like that, but he's laying down in bed in the middle of the day, and everyone had kind of gotten frustrated with talking to him, so they had left the room. And I remember sitting down with my grandfather and asking God, I don't know what to say, help me. Like, help me to say what I need to say, to convince him to go to the hospital. And I literally turned to my grandfather and I was just like, do you want to die? Because if you stay in bed tonight, you'll die. You're not going to wake up tomorrow morning. And he looks at me and I'm thinking to myself, what a really brash thing to tell somebody. Right. Like, you know, like I'm the voice in my head is like, go with it, sis. And so I'm just like, you know, I love you and I'm not ready to lose you. And so I really would like to go to the hospital and would like you to go to the hospital. And if you don't want to do it for you, do it for me. And so he said, okay. And my grandfather is stubborn, goes to the hospital, and they discover that he has an abscess that has traveled to his brain. And so he ended up having a series of issues that lended itself to a stroke. And so he had lost a lot of his speech abilities and it was very difficult for him to speak coherently. But the doctors had told him that like, you're lucky you came when you did because you needed immediate care. And so months had passed, 6 to 9 months had passed since the next time I had seen him. They had flown him over to Puerto Rico because we don't have a lot of medical care here. And when he came back, he looked unrecognizable. Like, he wasn't the strong, you know, confident grandfather who, you know, like, I had come to know. Like, he couldn't stand. He couldn't go to the bathroom by himself. He couldn't eat by himself. And I went to visit him for the first time that he was back from Puerto Rico. And his eyes started to water. And he's looking at me and I'm looking at him. And I could see he wants to talk. And he's struggling to find the words because whatever stroke he had really affected his ability to speak. And I could see him getting frustrated. And so he starts to, like, you know, tears coming on his cheeks. And he said, thank you. And basically in a series of words that he was trying to say was, I would not be alive if it were not for you today. Thank you. And that really stuck with me because, you know, like, I didn't know what to say. You know, it was God. It was like God was like talking through me. And anyway, after that, he ended up going more downhill, and he died a few months later. And the night that I found out that my grandfather had died, a blue orb visited me. And I was in that liminal space, laying down in bed, and I could see something over my body, and it was this orb of light that had no real shape, but it was like circular, but its edges were not like a round ball. It was a very unstructured orb, and I just knew that it was my grandfather. And since then, I've seen the orb a few times, but it's always been in times of grief or danger. But I know it's him, you know? So I say all of that to say that listening to Danica's story really, really brought that up for me, because you just don't know whether it's in action or in word, how what you are doing will significantly shift the course of your life, but also someone else's.
Mm-hmm. That's an amazing story. And I mean, how I didn't grow up with grandparents. I always wish I had, but you know, my mothers were in another country and they didn't speak the same language and we barely saw each other, you know. And then my father's side, his father died very young, and his mother was very cold, you know. She lived on the same island, but she just didn't really want to participate with us. So I always love vicariously living through other people and their grandparents and hearing stories, and just how amazing that is to have like that bond with another generation and that time that you had with him, and that bond that you created, and that you were able to convince him to go to the hospital, do what he didn't want to do, you know. And yeah, maybe that's like his way of thanking you, is like he's protecting you now, like he's looking over you on the other side.
I think that he comes in different ways for different people, you know, and I wanted to impart that to people today. Is that for Danica, it was the yellow breast bird. For me, it's the blue orb of light. For my cousins, it's the cardinal or the sparrow or the finch that represents the same person for all of us, but it shows up differently. I also feel like when I see Dare, you know, like that also reminds me of my grandfather. And so I really want people to understand that you have your own personal relationship with your loved ones. And if you want the signs that they're around you, ask. Literally, that's all you have to do, is ask. And once you ask, pay attention. Open your eyes and start to look for the ways in which these people who have passed away try to communicate with us. Because as much as there's a lot of people who can see actual spirits, you know, like walk across the hallway and communicate with them, a lot of us have varying abilities. And a lot of these spirits have varying abilities. Sometimes they can't come in that form for whatever reason. Energetically, they all have different capacities for how they can show up at any given time. And it's a lot less energy to be a bird or to trot on a cup from your dishwasher than it is to come as a full-fledged, you know, human, like, being, you know, like that takes an incredible amount of energetic input to show up in that way. And so it is about opening your minds to the possibility that maybe there's communication happening all around us all the time, but are we paying attention?
I definitely agree that it's very personal, our relationship with spirit or your relationship with God or goddess or whoever or whatever, the universe. I think it's very personalized, you know, and same thing with the way spirit will come through to you and communicate to you. And I think we talked about it in other episodes that like some people are clairaudient, clairvoyant, they have knowings, you know. But with signs, I also agree, like I think another thing too is not just to ask, but also to be specific if you want to, because it can clarify it for you even more, you know, like show me a pink heart. Let me know that that's the deal. And then I think the second validating factor is the resonance that you feel when you see something. And it's like that first instantaneous, like, holy shit, did I just, is that my sign? And most likely it is, you know? And I know, like, it's just very human nature of us to kind of like deny and rationalize everything, but give thanks for it anyways, you know, be grateful for it and be like, thank you. And you might start to see more. I've just noticed that in my own personal experience when I ask for like signs for certain things, like being specific really helps. And then also just acknowledging the sign and being like, thank you, even if you're not sure. But a lot of times, you know, like you really have this nine feeling like that's so beyond coincidental. That's like so for beyond sure. coincidental that this is happening to me right now. So I hope that relates to our listeners too. And I'm sure you guys have had some experiences. And I mean, if you have, like, I'd love to hear it. Like, send us an email or write on our Instagram.
Please, we need happy stories.
I love the happy stories. Like I said, my favorite was Teresa's. So
yeah,
Teresa's story about like the friendly ghosts, you know, or the friendly spirits or angels or whatever helped her out in that dire need.
That's season 1, episode 5 for you guys who haven't had a chance to listen to that. It's incredible. And it is a guardian angel story. Mm. Or the Pleiadians.
You know? We got a bunch of theories behind it.
Yeah. I was also coming to say that, you know, I see the face of God in the people that I meet more than I see it anywhere else. And I work in a metaphysical shop called Sage Sanctuary on St. Thomas. And a lot of my day is spent helping people, talking to strangers, comforting strangers, because when people come into a space like that, they are in search of being seen and being received and feeling safe. And they're looking for a safe container in which they can take a breath for the first time in God knows however long. And I will be going through my own personal trials, tribulations, or I will have various guidances that I'm looking for from the divine, and I will meet someone, get wrapped into conversation with this complete stranger, and more times than not, a lot of what they're experiencing, I'm experiencing. Or sometimes I'll be talking to them and I will have a moment where I feel like I, Gabrielle, step aside and spirit is talking through me to them. And at the end of whatever monologue dissertation I just give the people them, I like gasp in my head and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is the answer to my own problem. Like, I literally am giving these people the medicine that I'm here externally trying to source, talking about, you know, like God, you know, like whatever, whatever. And I just literally pull that information from myself, you know, like, and so I say that to say as well that a lot of the magic that I see unfolded in my personal life comes by way of extending kindness to other people. Because you just never know who you're talking to. You never know how the person standing in front of you, who might be caught in the eye and sulking and big lip and all of that, may be the person that says something that completely transforms your perspective, that completely shifts the way you see the world and the way in which you show up in the world. And so magic happens like that as well. It happens between us in interconnection and in community. I first and foremost wanted to thank Danica because I found her stories to be very personal and intimate and sweet. And so I wanted to offer her a very huge bow of gratitude for sharing it with us.
Yeah.
Like, and we love some good old positive stories. Brace are you back because next week won't gonna be scary. I guess my ending message is I really want to impart on our audience that this week coming, like until next week Thursday, sit and look in your life and see where miracles are unfolding. And they can be really small, or they can be very big, or they can come from you, because sometimes we are our own miracle makers. And if you feel compelled, if anything crazy or amazing or, you know, aligned happens to you in this next week, reach out to us and let us know. We would love to know all about it, but as well as if you're interested in us sharing it, Paulina and I are working on creating an episode 8 that is going to be less about a story and more about question and answer and yes. a beautiful, easygoing dialogue. So if anyone has any questions for us, you can ask us questions about our personal lives. You can ask us questions about the podcast curation process or our culture and where we come from. You are more than welcome to. You can send questions to our socials. We have Facebook, we have Instagram, we have email. All of this is going to be inside of our show notes for those of you who want the actual handles. But we're really interested in actually creating relationships with you guys. So yeah, let us know if any miracles happen to you in the next week, now that you are going to be paying attention to magic unfolding in your lives. Mm-hmm. We are super interested, and also definitely send us some questions we'd love to cover in episode 8. And Brace, yes. are you back for next week's episode? Because it's scary.
Yeah, I was definitely about to say the same thing. Like, we're going to have a Q&A, guys. And the scary story is coming up, of course. But yeah, we just wanted to finalize it on a note of paying tribute to you, all of our listeners, and thanking you for coming in every week and listening, and then all the feedback back, we see it. So we want to dedicate an episode to acknowledging you and all the questions you may have. So be prepared. Final episode is going to be a Q&A for us. So bring them in, you know, CaribbeanMysticsPodcast@gmail.com. Submit all your questions that you got. Yeah. Anyways, I think we're going to leave it at that, you guys. And have a beautiful week.
Thank you for listening to Caribbean Mystics Podcast.
If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to share with your family and friends. Like, follow, and subscribe to keep up with all of our spooky Caribbean content.
Do you have a story you'd like to share that took place in the Caribbean? Email us at CaribbeanMysticsPodcast@gmail.com. That's CaribbeanMysticsPodcast@gmail.com. Or check the show notes for more info.
Caribbean Mystics is created and hosted by Paulina Creaky and Gabrielle Carrard. Theme song is Folktale Juve Rhythm by Umi Marcano. Are you in need of a graphic design company that can help your business soar to new heights? Look no further than Sparrow and the Finch Designs. Our team of skilled designers can create stunning logos, eye-catching advertisements, and visually stunning websites that will make your business stand out from the flock. Trust Sparrow and the Finch Designs to bring your vision to life. Contact us today at 512-316-8830 to get started.